Boy, you've got me here.
You don't know it, huh?
Nope.
It's a song for you. The performer. Wake up. That guy is sleeping. You know who that is. Who is that, Jazz? Oh, we can't hear you, Jasmine. She'll have to come in and tell me later.
We're in different digs today, so everybody's kind of...
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. How are you, Mr. Schwanny?
Well, okay. I looked at the TV monitor there. You were busy texting when I mentioned to you, and you specifically, that we have a wind chill index this morning.
Yeah.
This is the first time this year we've reported that. It's freezing. The wind chill now at O'Hare.
Thanks.
But you know what? Batavia was down to 32. Earlier this morning. It's down to 31 now, so we're looking at freezing temperatures already. But it is November.
Actually, I wasn't texting. What I'm doing is setting up the Facebook Live that Jasmine is to grab my phone in just a minute. And we, at the beginning of the show, you could see on Facebook what we do here, as well as hear our guest, Ann Beal, which we'll do in a second. So there was kind of a news story this week, I believe, Mr. Schwanny.
And what might that be?
I don't know.
What might that
be? The surprise election that the good news, I think, is people care about. So I think if nothing else, there wasn't the type of apathy that we often see about elections in America. So to me, that was good news. So I did a blog post. My blog is stevedale.tv. And I typically blog about pets, but sometimes I blog about wildlife. I've been doing that for years, and the environment. And I post that I have a concern here about our environment. Mm-hmm. I really do. And if Mr. Trump doesn't understand what global warming or climate change, call it whatever the heck you want, it's real. And in fact, so all of these people on Facebook, it's a left-wing conspiracy and all these other things. You know what? The whole concept did not begin in the United States. It began in Australia and New Zealand. I happened to be there years and years ago around that time because people were getting skin cancer, and they only then discovered why. So many people living in that country, kids especially, were dying of skin cancer. I mean, this isn't just a little spot and we remove it. I mean, they were dying. And it's because it was discovered then there's a hole in the ozone. This isn't anyone's opinion. It really is true.
No, that's been the realistic fact for years.
Well,
the ozone layer.
Tell people that, apparently. I don't know why people don't believe that. And then scientists around the world, United States included, but not led by the United States. And today, all these years later, scientists in other countries look at us and say, what is it about America that makes it a political issue? I don't understand. I don't write about it. I'm very careful not to write about politics. And people slammed me and said I was writing about politics. I don't believe I was. You could check it out, stevedale.tv. It's a reality. If we have no land for plants to live in, sadly, including plants we haven't even discovered that might help us as pharmaceuticals, for little poison arrow dart frogs to elephant to live in, all of these species affect us in some way. Not to mention pollution and not to mention the concern about the ozone layer. These are real issues. They're not made up. That's ridiculous. Mr. Schwanny?
Yes?
You'll be back after 7 o'clock, right?
I will be back at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, that's what I said. All right. Goodbye, Mr. Schwanny.
Thank you.
He'll be back. Oh, let's see. You know what? It's probably me, Jazzy, because I have it turned down. There we go. Try it again. There. Thank you very much.
Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Do just kind of getting organized here in the what is a new studio for me to work in. Well, kind of not, because my podcast I do from here. So are you saying I should know better, Jasmine? It is 19 minutes before 7 o'clock on WGN Radio. I am Steve Dale, and this to my left is the wonderfully gorgeous Ann Beal. Good morning, Dr. Beal.
Good morning, Steve, on this chilly day in Chicago.
Yeah, said like a radio broadcaster. How lovely of you. This book is called Heartfelt Connections, How Animals and People Help One Another. Now, the last book you wrote, and your story is fascinating to me, because the last book you wrote about feral or unowned cats, but the books that you have written previous to that, and you've written many, have nothing to do with animals, but rather your expertise, which has to do with marketing. So how did you move from that to the cat world, and then from there leap to a book about the human-animal bond?
Well, I do research for a living, I do market research for major Fortune 500 companies. And so all of my books have been all about doing research. The cat book actually started because I ended up having a rat problem in Chicago and ended up becoming part of the Cats at Work program, where we brought cats into my neighborhood, and I became a caretaker for them. I became fascinated about them and ended up doing research on them. So that really intrigued me. I ended up interviewing people. I ended up conducting nationwide research with Americans about their perceptions of feral cats. And that got me interested in this idea of, wow, you know, I think animals are probably helping us in so many different ways. What are the ways that they are helping us? And so that started my journey down this pathway, where I looked at how do animals help the average American? And we did actually a survey of 1,500 Americans about how their pet has changed them and how it helps them. And then I did interviews all over the country with everyone from a llama farmer to a person who has a therapy pig in Dallas. And
yeah, the therapy pig story was amazing. By the way, the WGN News was sponsored by MedVetChicago.com. I apologize for leaving that out, but now you're in. This book is touching at times. At the end of the book, and we'll talk about some of the data, because I think it's really important to talk about. In fact, you have one little snippet of data here that, to me, changes my world, and I'll explain what that is in a moment. But let's tell some of the stories that you tell in the book about these therapy animals. And one that touched me has to do with hippotherapy. It's a group right outside Chicago.
Yes, Equestrian Connection actually is one of my favorite chapters. It's about this amazing organization that brings in children and adults who have a variety of problems. And these are physical disabilities that they have. And they have the children and the adults ride these horses. And it sounds kind of, really? They're going to ride a horse, but
how do they even get on a horse? But how does that help? I mean, how does riding a horse? So what did you find?
Well, we actually don't exactly know how it helps, but we know that it has an amazing effect. And I actually saw, while I was there, a woman get onto a horse. They actually helped them on very carefully. And then I saw sort of what was a very tentative and sort of kind of jerky movements. You know, this woman actually went around the arena, and by the time she was sort of the fourth and fifth time around, she was relaxed, she was smiling. And what they tell me at Equestrian Connection is that, you know, people are able to do things they weren't able to do before, including an amazing story where a woman who had not talked in years went for this type of therapy and then afterwards started to speak. So it's an amazing sensitivity that these horses have. And the effect that they have is just miraculous.
And what's also interesting to me is the animal side. Some horses seem to excel at this.
They do. They do. Actually, I refer to all of the horses who work at Equestrian Connections as their staff. And I met all of their staff. And each one of them actually has a very different personality and a very different ability to help children and adults. And so they tailor, actually. The specific horse is selected for the person. And I saw a young man lead a horse down a long hallway, and he was just beaming with pride. And his counselor said, you know, you have just led a 2,000-pound animal down the hall. You have just help this animal get to their stall. And he said, it's wonderful. And it was just amazing to see these incredible staff, incredible clients, incredible horses, and it was incredible.
Also in Chicago is Rainbow Assisted Therapy. And that's more conventional. It's what we might think of when we think of animal-assisted therapy. And we're talking dogs for the most part here.
For the most part, we are. I would say that that was one of the more amazing visits I actually went on. I went to a pediatric intensive care unit with one of the volunteers and her dog, Abby.
Not a place to go where you typically think, oh, I'm going to smile.
No, definitely not. And it was something where with HIPAA laws, we didn't know exactly what the child was dealing with. But I could tell these were serious issues. And at one point, we brought in a dog. We brought in Abby into this young boy's room. And I said, how do you feel about this, bringing dogs into a hospital? And he said, it's like wheeling a little bit of happiness into the room. And he was just beaming. But all of the people, all of the children that we interacted with were incredibly enthusiastic about the dog. And the dog acted quite differently with different children. The dog was very enthusiastic and energetic with kids who wanted that, and a little bit more laid back with other kids. And in one case, actually, a young girl was hooked up to some monitors. And when they put the dog next to her, all of the lines kind of flattened out and she just relaxed. And I saw that actually happen right in front of me.
It's amazing, but it's not. If you've done this kind of work before, you've seen it. I have seen it myself, and it's so touching. So the beginning of the book, have a tissue ready as you read, but toward the back of the book, you have a lot of data, and I want to talk about some of that data and what it means, all right here on WGN Radio. It does work, Ann Beal, and so does animal-assisted therapy. I'm on the board of the Scientific Advisory Board for Pet Partners. What they do is they certify dogs for animal-assisted activities of all kinds. You talked with them too, didn't you?
I did, and I actually saw them in action for certifying several animals when I went to Dallas. It is actually not a small, insignificant certification. It's a major undertaking for the dog, and I was very impressed at the dog I saw, who went through quite a lot of tests to see whether he could be a therapy dog. But
it's not for every dog or whatever animal it is, and that's because they certify other species too. But I'll tell you, it doesn't mean that animal isn't a good pet, isn't wonderful. It's just takes a special demeanor to go into, say, a hospital. Now imagine a dog's sense of smell is about 40,000 times what ours is. So imagine what they're smelling, not understanding necessarily, or maybe understanding more than we think. I don't really know. And all the strange noises and things that can happen and suddenly happen often, and the people that are around, sometimes, depending on the program, other animals that are around, so they have to be good with other animals. Good with kids, obviously, in many cases. So it's just not for every animal.
It isn't. And actually, I think people who do this type of work are very particular in the animals that they choose to do it. And then the organizations that certify them are very specific about what things that animal has to be able to do. So I was very impressed, actually, with Pet Partners when I saw them in action.
And speaking of Texas, you met a pig.
I did.
And I'm not referring to a person with bad manners. I'm talking about a pig who had a rather has a rather unusual job.
Yes, Norman, not just a pig, is how his caretaker refers to him. But I met him in Dallas, and I was pretty impressed with how intelligent he was, how interactive he is, and how caring and sweet he is. And I, of course, have not had too many interactions in my lifetime with pigs. But he really kind of stole my heart a little bit. And I saw videos of him interacting with college students at the end of the year, bringing them stress-free experiences. And he performed different types of therapy with lots of different people. But everyone who interacted with him would walk away with a huge smile. And that's how I experienced him.
I mean, I feel real badly here. I'm going to have you back again because we really don't have time to touch on everything. Because when we think of these sorts of things, we think of dogs, and it can be more than dogs. And when we do think of dogs, we've only touched on, I think, the surface of what dogs can do.
Yeah, as you know, I'm a cat person, but after doing all this research, I have been really wanting to get a dog.
I like that. So you did some research as well, because that is, after all, what you do for a living. And the research, the reading of that was fascinating. It's toward the back of the book. In some ways, it is research, so it's numbers. But what do some of those numbers say?
Well, it actually was research that we did with a representative sample of Americans, about 1,500 of them. And we asked them about a favorite animal. And about half of those favorite animals are currently living with them now. So these are very current relationships. But what we learned is that this animal has a huge impact on them. And we asked how they help that animal. We found that obviously they care for that animal and do a lot for the animal. But what we also learned was that the animals do a lot for them. And my favorite statistic in the book is one where we said, what does this animal do for you? 58% of Americans told us that this animal, just being around them, makes them feel better about the world. Steve, I don't know of an antidepressant that can do that.
And there's no side effect here.
Exactly.
Yeah. The data that I found most interesting, for dogs, 40% of people say, yeah, that the dog helps me to get out of the house, get out into the world, and that's a good thing. We know that dogs can do that for people. And can be life-saving, and doctors are even beginning to prescribe get a dog to heart patients, people with certain psychological disorders, so they get out into the world. What fascinated me is 8% of cat owners said that too. So I don't understand. Similarly, 48% of dog owners says, yeah, more exercise with the dog, yes. 10% of cat owners exercise with their cats. So I want to see that 10% and what they're doing with their aerobics with your cat. I love that idea. All right, we just have less than a minute left here. So can you do a 30-second version of a llama story?
Sure. Well, one of the groups that I interacted with was J&K Llamas, and I learned that they have several therapy llamas. And I never thought that a llama could be a therapy animal, but I saw these therapy llamas in action, and I was astounded at, first of all, how lovely they are, how intelligent they are, but how much the autistic children and aged people at an elderly home love them and what kind of an impact they had. So I'll leave you with a very non-traditional therapy animal and suggest that, you know, our connections with animals, they're very deep, and they're not just with cats and dogs. They're across many different species.
Heartfelt connections, how animals and people help one another. The author's right here in Chicago. You're local, so you'll be back because I love this book and had the honor, we didn't talk about this, to write the foreword. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ann Beal is her name. Heartfelt Connections is the name of the book.